818 News Talk 1620 WTAW. And Fred Brown joins us from Austin. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing great. We've got a tough 4 days ahead of us.
Yeah, that's true. You know, of course, you've been over there for a while, but we needed to wait till all those bills got filed, and now y'all start taking them on. And obviously, the monsters right up front. You've got three spending bills. But I guess the first step is that we need to address a deficit that exists there of about $3 billion.
Yes, sir. And we're going to take that up today, and we're going to use the rainy day fund for most of it. We have made some substantial cuts throughout the entire bill. And then, of course, tomorrow we take up the general appropriations bill for the next biennium, House Bill 1.
And I presume people, of course, understand that all this legislation must start in the House, and then whatever happens there, then they'll work on it on the Senate side. Obviously, the linchpin here was that the governor had to loosen the reins a little bit on the rainy day fund for y'all to be able to get this settled.
Yes, sir. And the bill that we're going to send over to the Senate is $77 billion, and they want to spend upwards of $88 billion. So, of course, everything changes on the appropriations bill when it gets to conference, and what we get back will be a different bill than what we send over there, and we expect that. It happens every session.
You know, you've been over there a while, so characterize, if you will, because the Republican Party now has a supermajority. You've got 101 seats out of 150. How is that different from the days when actually the margin was a little bit closer, and actually you had people leaving town to not take action?
Well, you know, just like you said, we do have 101 of the 150 votes, and but the difference now is we have a lot of the Tea Party candidates that came in the freshman class, and of course they're totally opposed to spending any of the rainy day fund, so there will be some type of fight over that when the bill comes back from the Senate.
Not unlike the House of Representatives in Washington, the biggest battle happens to be within the Republican Party.
Yes, sir.
Now,
but the biggest thing that we have to remember is we can't spend more than we take in, and we can't print money like Washington does,
right,
to get out of their problems.
Speak to me a little bit then. I know, because again, you're a senior member. You've been there a while. I'm sure there have been some Tea Party members who are wide-eyed and full of enthusiasm to do something. Has it fallen on you at any time to kind of give them a dose of reality as to the way things work in Austin?
Absolutely. Almost on a daily basis. And some of them are coming around to the way that we operate, and you know, by and large, the entire Republican Party is conservative, and we want to be cautious about what we sign the state up for the next 2 years.
State Representative Fred Brown joining us this morning. In addition to having to go through just the size of this budget, there's so many amendments that are added here. We're looking at over 470, almost 475 amendments on these three budget bills. Some of them obviously will never see the light of day, but let's talk about if you have any amendments in here that people would take interest in.
I have one that increases the percentage of by 10% of prescription drugs for Medicaid patients going to generic drugs, and that one amendment saves us $200 million a year. The problem that I'm up against is, of course, I'm fighting big pharmacy. You know, the big PBMs. You know, that manage the healthcare systems in Texas. So, of course, they don't want to give up that chunk of their business. But it would save the state upwards of $200 million in a biennium.
Now, how do you wrap your head around 470-plus amendments? Obviously, you want to be able to make the right decision on each one of those, but how do you consider each of them?
Well, you just have to read through each of them as they come up. A lot of them will be pulled down, you know, as we go through the process and the hours get late, and a lot of them are just put in there just for posturing, you know, for members to, you know, to feel good when they go back to their home districts.
Now, it appears that you'll be in session all day today, tomorrow, and then on into Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Wow. And I guess a couple of things that have popped up that people care about here is, what does it look like for higher education in the House version of the budget?
Well, right now there's a 7% cut, and all the university officials have told us that they can live with that. They're all pleased that the cuts aren't any deeper than that. So they seem to be pleased. Where the big disconnect is, of course, is in public education. And, you know, we as a state, we spend a higher percentage of our budget on education than any other state, including California and New York. And our per pupil costs have increased at a higher rate than the national average. We spend more on facilities. Our teacher to non-teacher ratio statewide is 1-to-1.
Wow.
So that says that 46 cents of every dollar that the taxpayers pay for schools goes to non-teaching jobs, administration, you know, and all the other things that entail that aspect.
Well, and with that in mind, as one member of the State House, what is your feeling as far as private school vouchers?
I haven't seen any bills on it yet, but this is probably a good opportunity.
Sure.
I'm sure there will be some.
Now, one thing that you have championed in sessions past, and I didn't hear you mention it this morning, is the idea of unified school districts within county lines.
Yes, sir. And what that was doing was having one administration for each county. We have counties that have 26 ISDs in them. We have more. Texas has 10% of all the ISDs in the nation. Out of 50 states, we have 10%, which just tells you that we spend so much money on administration. And my bill would consolidate those to one per county. It wouldn't change the complexion of the schools or the mascots or the football teams or anything else. But it would put $1 billion a year back into the classroom, and I'll be lucky to even get a hearing.
I was going to say, do you feel there any feeling that this could be accepted on any level now? Is it still the same as it's always been? Kind of falls on deaf ears.
Well, it's coming a lot closer because now, for instance, Americans for Prosperity, they talk about that as a single issue that needs to be dealt with, and a lot of other organizations are bringing that up. So the word's getting out there. I had to give lay out a bill the other day in Transportation Committee for one of my constituents, and it had to do with mud flaps on the back of school buses. And the gentleman got up that represented the school administrations for their association, and he said, if we're forced to put mud flaps on school buses that go out of our county, then we'll have to take that money out by reducing the number of school teachers. And,
okay.
And when I got back up to close on my bill, I said, have you ever thought about taking money out of the administrative part of it?
Oh, no, they don't want to hear that, do
they? They didn't want to hear that at all.
Teachers from mud flaps.
For mud flaps.
That's the emotional side of it. Now, one of the things, obviously, we also want to talk about, and that's locally the 300-pound gorilla in the room, and that is the bill that you have, the bracketed bill that you have put forth that would allow the folks in Welborn to have a say-so as far as annexation. Tell us where we are in that process right now.
Well, the bill cleared the committee and was voted out, and now it's gone to calendars, and there should be a hearing on it next week. And from there, of course, it'll go to the Senate, but we have no idea what will happen when it gets to the Senate.
My understanding is you look to move to remove Bryan from this bill?
Yes, sir.
So this will just be about College Station. This will truly, in fact, be a bracketed bill.
Yes, sir. It's bracketed right now, but I'll just have a floor amendment to make it only for College Station.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. Eat when you can and sleep when you can, because it's going to be tough for the next 3-4 days over there.
Yes, sir.
That's certainly for sure. State Representative Fred Brown visits with us during the session. You can hear the entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Fred. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Scott. Take care.
Bye-bye.